Today we're looking at Psalm 124, which is the fifth psalm of that series of psalms we've been looking at called the Songs of Degrees, or the Song of Ascent, that the Israelites would sing when they would go up to Jerusalem. And no doubt this one was probably written during the return from Persia under King Cyrus, as the Israelites, or the Jews really, were returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. And it's a psalm giving praise to God, or recognizing the fact, at least, the fact that he has delivered them and that he has preserved them over the years miraculously. I'll just read it through, then I'll give some comments. It's only eight verses. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, and the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." And so there the Israelite, or the Jewish remnant, is described as like a bird escaping out of the snare that was set for them, or as one who is about to be overflowed by mighty waters, yet delivered from those waters. And really, it's a story of the history of Israel as a nation. I mean, what other nation is there in the history of the world that has so many times in its history been almost on the verge of extinction, would have been wiped out by its enemies and so on? You know, anti-Semitism is a word that has come into our language, into our vocabulary. It describes that particular hatred towards the Jews, and how many tyrants and nations have tried to wipe them out completely, but have failed, and they exist as a people. And so, you know, we can look in the biblical account, and we can look at secular history. If we look at the biblical account, we see in olden times, when the children of Israel were in Egypt in bondage, they weren't really Israel then as such. They were just the Hebrews. They weren't constituted as a nation yet. That didn't happen until Moses gave them the law and so on. And then they would eventually come into the land of Canaan. But there they were, those Hebrews in bondage, and Pharaoh wanted to destroy all the male children, would have wiped them out basically as a nation. Or, for example, how many times in the book of Judges you see many enemies overwhelming them and in their country and their land, you know, and oppressing them. And then we come to the days of the captivity of Babylon into Persia, and you get the wicked man Haman, who hatched a plot to destroy all the Jews in the world, but that was foiled by the providential intervention of God. But then even in more modern history, we see in Europe how many times the Jewish people have been persecuted and hunted from country to country. You know, they fled into Spain, and then they had to flee Spain into Eastern Europe in the Middle Ages, and how the Roman Catholic Church persecuted them, how the Europeans raised different pogroms against them, and especially in Eastern Europe and Russia, Poland, and these countries. And of course, the so-called Holocaust, I don't say so-called, it was real, it really happened. Over 6 million Jews perished in this through Adolf Hitler. But it's called the Holocaust in the sense of like the burnt offering, the smoke ascending up and so on. Yet they were miraculously delivered. They still exist as a nation. Now, we can understand why Satan would want to destroy them before the coming of Christ, because they were the people particularly chosen by God to be that line, according to the flesh, through which Messiah would come into the world. So they had to be preserved as a people. And you can see how Satan, if he could have destroyed them and wiped them out as a people, the Messiah could not have come to be the deliverer of all mankind, to be our Savior as well. They had to be preserved as a people. So God intervened and preserved them and delivered them and so on out of the net of the one who would, as if they would try to catch a bird in a net, and God would deliver them, just as it's described in verse 7, our soul has escaped as a bird or the snare of the fowlers, and so on. God intervened for them. Now, we can understand that. We can explain that. But how do we understand and explain, since Christ has come, anti-Semitism still exists, and there have been efforts, like I say, like the Holocaust, like Adolf Hitler, Nazism, and all the different European persecutions. For example, in the Middle Ages of Europe, when the Black Plague was just ravaging Europe and millions of Europeans were dying, the Pope sent out an edict and said that the Jews had poisoned the wells of the Christians, and then great persecutions arose upon that and so on. Yet they survived. But how can we explain why Satan would endeavor to destroy them after Christ came? Well, it's very simple. It's because there are many promises in the Bible that speak of their future deliverance, and that Messiah will come and rescue the people of Israel. He'll establish his kingdom on the earth through the people of Israel. If they no longer exist as a people, then those promises can't come to pass. And so God is still preserving them, still intervening for them. Now, through all of that, God providentially has worked his disciplining hand, you know, for their sins. Their sins of idolatry in the Old Testament, and then in the years of the coming of Christ, that they rejected the Christ, you know. They said, let his blood be upon us and our people. And so God has providentially allowed the discipline to fall upon them. That's why they've been singled out as a people for persecution and hatred and so on. God has allowed that. There's no doubt about it. Yet at the same time, in allowing that for their own discipline to draw them back to himself, yet at the same time, as I say, he is preserving them, he's delivering them, and we stand and marvel, and we look at the Jewish people, that they still exist. This is to the glory of God. And it's interesting, in this psalm, the enemies of Israel who would wipe them out are described as an overflowing of water, like a great river or flood. Look at verse 3, it says, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Well, the waters going over their soul or overflowing them is a picture of the Gentile nations, the various nations and peoples who would have raised up their armies to wipe them out. You know, you think of, again, in Germany, how they sent all these killing groups in the Second World War into Poland, and their armies into Poland, and rounded up Jews and executed them in these mass pits, and then ultimately the concentration camps and the furnaces and so on. The waters would have overflowed them, yet God delivered them and preserved them. There was a remnant saved from among them. And this is going to happen in the future as well. If you would look at Revelation chapter 12, we see in verse 13 it says, when the dragon saw, and the dragon is Satan, when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. The man-child, or the male son, is Christ. And the woman is Israel. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. The serpent, again, is the devil. The woman is Israel. And that period of time mentioned here, a time, times, and half a time, is the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And so she's nourished, she's preserved. Notice verse 15, and the serpent, that is the devil, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. This is exactly what we get in our psalm. The waters had overwhelmed us, and the stream would have gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul, except for the fact, blessed be the Lord, who has not given us a prey to their teeth. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And this is what exactly will happen in the Great Tribulation. A remnant, a godly remnant, will be preserved amongst the Jews, as the nations would overflow them and under the power of Satan try to wipe them out altogether. It says in verse 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of their mouth. And I'm not going to get into the interpretation of this. There's different thoughts on what the earth is, who was that protects the Jews during that time. But nevertheless, we can say this, that it's God. God will intervene and protect them. And so we can marvel at God's grace. And if he has preserved the people of Israel, you know, he will also preserve his church. And the Lord Jesus said, I will build my assembly, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Even death itself will not stand in the way of the ultimate perfection of the church. Will rise up in resurrection as a unity, as a body. Both the dead and living will be caught up. Even death itself will not hinder what the Lord Jesus is doing in building his assembly. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.